Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you've been hanging around with us for a while, well, you know what I think? I think that makes you a highly intelligent individual. And I bet you've gotten that more intelligent as the minutes go by. And those of you who just tuned in, look at the IQ increase you got to look forward to. I know you're going to get smarter when you listen to this segment of our show, because Tony Paradiso is with us. And Tony's one of our top human resources experts in the Brain Trust. He's the author of The Management Mindfield, and he's our good friend. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's interesting. The lecture I had in my class yesterday was on human resources, matter of fact.
Yeah. Now, and remind me, I know about that, but remind me about your involvement with the school.
Yeah, I'm an adjunct at Bentley College in Waltham, Massachusetts, among many other activities that I engage in.
Right. So, in addition to, as well as being a small business owner of a real live retail establishment.
Yes, a real live country store, which I was crazy enough to buy a couple of years ago.
And as I've said before, repeating the main line of the song, Dirks Bentley's song, I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking? How many times have you asked yourself that question, Tony?
Oh, every day.
every day. What did you tell me? It's a love-hate relationship?
It's absolutely a love-hate relationship.
Well, don't you think, though, Tony, don't you think that's the way it is with every small business and their small business owner and their business?
I think so. I mean, there are aspects of it that are so gratifying, and there are others that are just so frustrating, and one of which is just trying to keep a stable workforce in place.
You got to petition these things, don't you? I mean, isn't that the way to maintain sanity and to get up and go to work every day? I know in my business, there's some things about my business that drive me absolutely nuts, but then I have to stop and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to do what I do. And when I'm capable of stepping back and looking at the big picture, and I just have to say to myself, okay, just get through this detail here, and you'll get to go to do some fun stuff.
Yeah, and for all the frustration that you experience from time to time, I wouldn't give it up for anything. I mean, I spent my life in the corporate world, and I would never want to go back to that. I mean, the gratification of working for yourself and seeing the things that you do kind of, take hold, and being, having the freedom to make decisions without dealing with, all the other political issues that are involved in corporate life. Even though there's a frustration here and there, when you count the receipts at the end of the day, that's fun.
Well, exactly. And, what I always like to say is the worst day as a small business owner is better than the best day working for a major corporation.
You got that right.
And after 23 years. Oh, we love our major corporations, though. I mean, they're great. But, Tony, it's not for everybody, is it?
No.
What you and I do, what our listeners do, it's not for everybody.
And let's not lose sight of the fact that small business owners are the major employer in this country.
That's
so,
right.
All the focus is on the Fortune 500, all the newspapers and business stations talk about those companies, but it's the small business owners that really drive this economy.
Well, and the reason is because the media doesn't understand what we do. In fact, I think we frighten them a little bit, Tony. What I mean? I think I've written about this. I've written it. I think when regular people observe entrepreneurs, it scares them a little bit. I think we're a species that makes people a little nervous because it's like watching people working on a high wire without a net.
That's a good analogy. It really is. Yeah.
Working without a net, there's no question about it. I mean, that's exactly what we do. I spoke to a group, actually three groups this week already, and I said, we're out here. None of us, no small business owner, is more than two wrong decisions away from failure.
Yeah, right.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, and you know, they cover all these stories about these big companies and mergers and risks. But what risks are they really taking? I mean, you know, the individuals in those companies aren't taking any risk personally.
Nope. They're not signing on the dotted line. They don't, you know, they're not signing twice when they borrow money from a bank, or when they make a commitment to investors or whatever. They don't sign twice, once for as the president of the company and once as an individual as an individual guarantor. Yeah, right. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tony, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Tony to talk to us a little bit about some of the real life experiences that he's had in managing the employees of his country store, and some things that he can teach us, some things that he's learned. And probably you're going to see yourself in some of these things as well. I know I have. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield. Tony, tell us where the book's available and give us your website, please.
Actually, you can order the book from any bookstore. It's up on Amazon.com, and my website is www.paramarconsulting, P-A-R-A-M-A-R, consulting, all one word, .com.
All right, so check that out, folks. And does the general store have a website?
No, I haven't bothered putting the...
You need to do that.
Yeah, I know, you know, it's a matter of priorities.
I know. Oh, I know about that.
And I've been focused more on signage at the location,
right,
and making improvements to the interior of the store.
For that particular business, a fresh coat of paint's more is better money better spent than a website.
And absolutely.
I agree with you. Okay, Tony, one of the things that... That when, as you know, I speak across the country to small business groups, chambers of commerce, bank customers. Banks have me come in and talk to their customers. And here's the thing that I hear all the time. Every time I go somewhere, at least one, if not several people, come up to me, if not ask questions during the Q&A session. And here it is. How do I find good, qualified people? Please help me with that. Please, Mr. Small Business Guy, how do I find these people? Not how do I get more sales, not how do I get more capital, not how do I handle health care. Those are all concerns. Those are all 2, 3, 4, and 5. But number one is what I just said.
Well,
is that your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the number one frustration. When I bought the store, one of the reasons I bought it was because it was fully staffed. I really had never intended to spend a huge amount of time in it myself because I have other business endeavors. But the way circumstances laid out, I lost both my full-time managers, mm-hmm, and have been trying to restaff since. And so, it's been a kind of a trial and error scenario where I'm trying different strategies. But one of the things that I think will work is I've done a couple of things. I've put my managers on a profit sharing plan, which I think is probably somewhat unusual for a business of this type.
That's pretty unusual. Yep.
And the reason I'm doing that, obviously, I have a strategy. I'm willing to invest in the business, and I want to grow the business. But in order to do that, I'm really depending on the managers to be an extension of myself and to be willing to work harder as the business becomes more successful. And the only way you're going to motivate people to do that is to give them some skin in the game. And so I've basically set up a series of financial goals, and we review them quarterly, and I pay out basically bonuses to the managers if we hit those targets. And so they have a vested interest in seeing the store do well. And that's been well received. And the amount of money it costs me to do that is, I believe, negligible compared to the benefit that I derive by assuring that my employees are really looking out for the business itself.
One of the things that I think people get a little bit confused about in small business, employing people for small businesses, Tony, is what it actually costs you to keep, to have the, your business staffed appropriately. And it's not the hourly or weekly or monthly wage that you pay them. It's more than that.
Right.
Because you can either pay good people well and keep them and not have to go through all of the of the restaffing as you've been going through, or you can, you know, you can do it the other way, and you're continually spending time having to hire new people, having to find new people, and getting them retrained. And what does that cost you? If small business, if we could actually come up with some kind of a calculation, some kind of an electronic calculator, Tony, that would help people understand, see what the difference is. I believe the second example would take the breath away.
Yeah, it's a cost that
lost
a lot of
lost opportunity
businesses,
and right. Everything else.
Training costs and all those kinds of things. And in this particular type of business and in other retail businesses, a big part of it is relationship building and developing a relationship with customers. And when you have employee turnover at that level, you have a difficult time maintaining continuity with the customer base.
Well, you know, another thing, though, Tony, is if you're going to do what you do, if you're going to offer this kind of a generous compensation plan, you've also got to do a better job of finding the right people, because if you give a generous compensation plan to somebody that you haven't done a great job of vetting, of qualifying to make sure that they're worthy of that plan, then basically what you're doing is you're just throwing money away.
That's right. That's right. But you know, with a bonus structure, because you're not paying it immediately, you do have time to kind of monitor. So this is probation period, and the way I've done it is kind of discretionary. There aren't specific dates that these things are going to be paid out. And I look at the numbers. Of course, I look at the numbers daily, but quarterly, I share them. And if I feel that we've made our goals, and then I will pay bonuses. Sometimes I will just spontaneously pay a bonus, mm-hmm. Just to keep people incentivized. And mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about huge sums of money. It could be a couple hundred dollars here, a couple hundred dollars there. But during the course of the year, it becomes a substantial percentage of their overall compensation.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I try to do is be flexible with employees. For example, my primary manager now, she has a small child. She's a single mom. And the other day, she needed to take a couple of hours off to take her daughter to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Okay, I make sure that I'm at the store, cover for a couple hours.
That's
so
the
she
reason.
Can do that.
That's the reason why somebody like her would work for a small business.
Absolutely,
is to have that kind of flexibility. You got to be able to do that. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Tony the really important question about his decision to own this business, this very small business in New Hampshire. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And you ain't had enough to. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and don't forget to check out the blog and the thousands of articles and archives that are there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of really good stuff there that our Brain Trust members have deposited there with me, along with my stuff and the stuff we've done together. And it's all for you. It's all free to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Tony Paradiso is there. He's deposited a lot of wisdom on our site over the years, and we appreciate that, Tony, very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And Tony's book, by the way, folks, is called The Management Minefield, and I've been recommending it to you for a long time now. The subtitle is Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics, and you can find it wherever books are sold. Tony, here's the big question. You've owned this small business now for, a year and a half?
About a year and a half, yeah.
Would you do it over again?
I hesitate.
He didn't know I was going to say that. Ask him that, folks. Would you do it over again?
Yeah, I think I would.
Really?
I think I would.
Knowing all the things you know, and having gone through all of the things you've gone through, which thank you by the way, thank you very much. You've been very gracious to be honest with us and to help us learn from the challenges that you have experienced over the last year and a half. Tony's has chronicled those events on this show, folks. You can go back and listen to the archives to find those. But with all those things that you know, if you knew what it was going to be like, would you have done it again?
Yeah, I would, because it gave me an opportunity to experience something that was missing in my background. Really, you know, having spent an entire career in the corporate world, and the ownership of a business, and having control of every aspect, and having to make payroll and do all those things,
mm-hmm.
but also having the gratification of seeing, you know, being able to apply ideas and concepts that you've developed over the years and see them actually work in the real world, and not just in theory,
mm-hmm.
and watch the business grow. I wouldn't give that up for anything. And the frustrations that I've experienced are part of just learning a new environment. And now I think, from a business standpoint, I'm a much stronger business person and have a better perspective of the entire picture than I had before.
Right. Well, and you know, one of the Blasingame's first law of small business is it's easy to start a small business. It's hard. It's very difficult to run one successfully.
Yeah, you know, and I, one of the things I'm looking at moving ahead is, you know, I really do believe I'm beginning to develop somewhat of a template for this kind of business, and I hope to be able to formalize that in some fashion and share it with other
and
businesses.
buy another one. Start another one of these?
I may, or I may just share what I've learned and try to help other people maybe avoid some of the things that I've experienced just out of ignorance.
So this has been, not only has this been a business venture, it's been an experiment for you.
Absolutely. You know, when I bought the store, my attitude was, oh, what fun, a little toy to play with. You know, a little marketing toy to play with.
I bet you won't say that. You don't say that now, though, do you?
No, I don't.
Now you realize the error of your ways, don't you?
Right. Now I know why everybody told me I was crazy.
Yeah. Well, they were only half wrong, right?
They were only half wrong, right.
What have you learned about customers in the last year and a half?
Well, you know, I actually love the customers. You know, when I was in corporate life, I had very little interface with customers.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the marketing side and the salespeople mostly. But one of the most enjoyable aspects of the business is getting to know the customers. And the feeling you have when a customer walks in the door and you know what they want before they get to the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. But, you know, there's a gratification.
And if you do, how much they appreciate the fact that you remembered.
Yeah, and the fact that my customers come to my store not because I necessarily have the cheapest product around, but they come there because, you know, there's a convenience aspect, but I think they come there because they like doing business with us.
That's what people do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the element, that's the intangible that all small business owners have to develop. Tony, thank you for being here. I appreciate it very much.
Always a pleasure.
And I hope you're going to continue to give us the story of. And by the way, tell us the name of the store again.
It's the Cider Mill Country Store in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're ever there, please stop by.
You got to stop by. You might even get Tony to ring up that jug of cider for you. Thanks, Tony. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back after the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.